Blog Talk Radio.
Across the country and around the world, streaming live on the internet, it's Real Estate Coaching Radio, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and secrets of the top producers. Hosted by award-winning real estate coaches, Tim and Julie Harris.
And welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. And Julie and I, of course, are broadcasting live from a rather overcast Austin, Texas, as we wait for a looming thunderstorm, which is always welcome here in Texas. And, of course, this is your only online source radio show that offers you unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. I'm going to underline that. I'm going to emphasize that. And I'm always going to do my best to get it through some of your thick heads that we are indeed in the beginning stages of what's going to be a 7 to 10 year real estate recovery. And this real estate recovery will probably be the best one of all of our careers. So make sure you've got your head screwed on straight and your education in line and get ready to take action. Because frankly, guys, this is your opportunity to get into action, to help people, and make yourselves a ton of money. This real estate recovery will be powerful. In some cases, it will be slow starting. I know in some markets, you guys are just basically hearing me say that. You're saying, Tim, what the heck are you talking about? In other markets, you're saying, of course, we're in a real estate recovery. Matter of fact, it feels stronger now than it ever did during the last real estate boom. I know, guys. The fact is that depending on where you are in the country, you are in different stages of the recovery. But the bottom line is real estate is definitely coming back. Need no further proof, then look in the MLS. Look at all the new construction homes that are getting built. Look at all the new builders that are entering into your marketplaces. Guys, seize this opportunity. If this spring so far hasn't felt like a real estate boom to you, let alone a recovery, then you need to request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com. So one of the topics that we talk about occasionally here is obviously working with buyers. Now, we are definitely focused on helping all of you learn how to be listing agents, and that is definitely where the power and control and the long-term lasting success that all of you desire comes from, learning how to be a listing agent. But working with buyers is something, obviously, that is a critical part of your real estate business, and no matter how many listings you have, how much success you are experiencing, we want you to always have at least two or three AAA motivated buyers. So Julie and I are going to be talking more about buyers on today's show without any further delay. Julie, welcome back.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So we got a lot of great feedback after yesterday's call. We gave them some overview ideas about scripts and techniques and different things they could do to be getting their buyers in contract quicker. And so a lot of you guys gave us great feedback, had more questions from yesterday's show. So we're going to be drilling down on buyers a little bit more today. So Julie, why don't you just go ahead and jump into what we've prepared for all these guys.
Sure, you got it. And I think as a result of yesterday's call, some of our listeners said, all right, well, you talk about not wanting us to pay for buyer leads necessarily. What are some other ways to generate more buyer business? And I'm going to share with you a quick story. One of my she's risen to the top of one of my favorite clients now because she just has her eyes and her ears open all the time. Super green agent, actually. And she said on her call today, she said, you know, a lot of people told me that open houses don't work, but I got to tell you, I did exactly what you said on your last coaching call as we talked about how to actually monetize an open house and to do it the right way so you end up with not just buyer leads but also seller leads. So she flyered the neighborhood beforehand. She talked to the neighbors. She had a great-looking sign-in book. We worked on open house scripts, all these things. She said like half of the neighborhood showed up to her. She did like a two-hour preview for neighbors and friends only. Then she had for the general public. She had over 100 people show up, and she has great leads as a result. And so she's great because she's so green, and she does know to ask lots of questions. So on the one hand, she's been having agents, you know, the grizzled veteran types, and office managers say, oh, you don't want to hold open houses. They're a waste of time. And then she does one, and she's like, what are you talking about? I got killer leads. You know, and
well,
her area, her average sale price is like $600,000. You know, she's going to be fine.
I had a great coaching call today. You're reminding me of one, and you're talking about open houses,
mm-hmm.
Julie. And this guy has been in the real estate business for a long time. He is very successful. And his homework from week to week, guys, I talk with him every week, is to take three new listings, Three new listings is his minimum standard. So one of the things he did during this, between our last couple calls, is he started doing just as Julie suggested. He made a flyer. He did a neighbors only open house. He went and, you know, knocked 10 doors on both sides. It may have been 20 doors on both sides. And guess what? He took a listing. These basic things always work, and guess what? They're free. And if you don't know what to say, or if you're comfortable how to approach a seller or knock on a door, you know what? Request a free coaching call. Free coaching calls for agents, or at the very least, get involved in our Real Estate Coaching Essentials program, because we take you through all the essentials of building a successful real estate practice, especially in this new real estate economy. So, yeah, Julie, that's a great story. And, you know, I have to say, there is we've been saying for a long time that there's kind of two kinds of agents, the educated agent that's willing to take action on what they learn, and then the agents that sort of wing it, that think they don't have to learn anything, that think basically whatever they learned, you know, 10 years ago is sufficient. But never before now has that even been more true, because the agents that are, frankly, really, really making the most of this recovery are the ones like the two that we just described. They're getting off their butts, they're taking action, they're going out there and they're applying some of the things they're learning in our coaching programs, and they're getting, you know, really, in many cases, they're getting immediate results. You know, that actually brings up a funny question that I got in email. Tim and Julie, you know, you've gotten this one too, Jules. How long will it take when I enroll as a coaching client and one of your coaches coaches me? You know, because we have a lot of coaches here, and, you know, but frankly, you guys won't always get Julie and I as your coach. It just depends on how our schedules work. So, you know, and I go, you, Julie, or one of your many coaches that's my personal coach, how long will it take me to, so that I can, you know, experience success? When you get that question, it's impossible to answer, isn't it? But how do you answer it?
The first thing that pops into my mind is, how coachable are you? How open are you? You know, the example I just gave, she's implementing immediately and getting immediate results. If you're going to be somebody that questions everything and wants to re-engineer everything and do it your way or some other way you've heard, well, I can't tell you how long it's going to be, because you might have to try something else and, you know, try and finesse it and then fail and then go back to exactly the way we taught you. So, you know, we give you things that will work right away. You've got to take some responsibility of implementing the way we ask you to do it. So if you're willing to do that, you know, example I just used, you know, I think she literally signed up for coaching on her first transaction ever. And she already has 6 to 8 in the pipeline that are really good, solid deals. So anywhere from immediately to whenever you feel like implementing would be my answer.
You know, I agree. But you know what's interesting is sometimes it's the middle of the road agents that are the worst coaching clients. That's the truth,
I would totally agree with that.
The top producers are the great coaching clients, because they know the power of learning, and the more they learn, the more they earn. They know that. And the newest agents are always great coaching clients, or, you know, basically people that are returning to the real estate industry, I would say, are great coaching clients as well, especially if they have a professional background. It's you guys in the middle that are the blockheads, because you're able to produce your moderate level of production of usually,
you can get by without really having to learn anything new.
That's right.
You know, you're supposed to be learning new, but do you do it? That's the question.
And you get lucky often enough, but you might do 6 or 8 deals per year, or, you know, 5 or 6, just depending on your price range in the area of the country. You just get by. So you get enough of a taste of success that you think you know more than you do. You don't realize that most of your business just comes from luck. And until you have a coaching call with one of our coaches, or Julie I, where we impress upon you, if you were just to apply maybe some of the natural talents and skills you've got going for you and apply a system, apply some specific regimens, a schedule, so you can proactively go after the business, that's when your life changes. So, you know, it's funny. If you find yourself in a state where your income has been the same year in and year out for maybe 2-3 years, it's probably because you have not learned to do something new. I'm not saying you're not learning new stuff. I'm saying you're not learning new stuff that's going to help you produce more transactions and income. God knows you guys are inundated with lots of messages about silver bullets and little whiz-bang things to help you produce transactions. But have you noticed that virtually none of those things actually work? So, yeah, you might be absorbing more information about real estate, but is it really resulting in more transactions, more income, and most importantly, more profit for you? Chances are, yes, you're consuming information, but no, it's not actually producing more profit. So you guys have become skeptical in some cases. Well, you know what? Request a free coaching call, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, and we will help you get your head screwed back on straight so you can turn your spring market into your best year ever. So, Julie, let's jump right back in where we left off yesterday, talking about the really incredible opportunity buyers can be, and those, of course, are the buyers that meet the rules that we laid out for you guys yesterday. And remember, no matter what, always put your best energies towards taking listings. So Julie put together a list of great places you can go about getting buyer leads without having to pay for them. Go ahead, Jules.
Okay. So you have your own center of influence. So my earlier agent example this week, one of her homework assignments, sending a letter to her friend's family center of influence and past clients from previous businesses that she's had, so basically past clients, friends, center of influence, announcing that she is in real estate and she's there to take care of them. And not just doing that letter once, but we'll do that probably every other month here as we get going with her. Of course, we mentioned open houses. Then we have 25% referral fee only online sources. These are companies where there is no monthly fee, no sign-up fee, no yearly fee. You only pay when the transaction closes. You have relocation. Some of you work for companies with varying degrees of relocation relationships, so find out about that. And then there are other ways to create those relationships on your own, so relocating executives and others. Then you have the paid buyer lead sources like Zillow, Trulia, et cetera. And honestly, all you really have to do is talk about real estate, and there are buyer leads everywhere. I remember, Tim, you know, going on a walk, there's buyer leads. Going to your mailbox, there's buyer leads. Make sure you're talking about real estate. You'll be surprised the opportunity that you attract to yourself. So that's our short list of how to generate buyer leads.
So here's a thought for you. This weekend, if you guys are transactionless, if you're closingless, if you don't have money coming in right now, go to an agent in your office, your broker, somebody who basically is going to allow you to hold a really good listing of theirs open. Now, let's define what that is. That is going to be a house that's probably not a condo, where there's lots of easy parking around it, where it's going to be in a great, highly desirable neighborhood. It's not gated. In other words, you're going to make it so as many buyers can come see it as easily as possible. Then you're going to get 7 to 10 open house signs. Yes, 7 to 10. So in this order, find the listing that an agent will allow you to hold open. Then market the open house everywhere online. So that's going to be Craigslist possibly. That's going to be, you know, maybe your MLS. Different sources where you can just really generate a lot of buyer interest. You can also do this sometimes in new construction. The builders will let you do it. So then what's next? Is you, prior to the open house, maybe Saturday, so your open house is this Sunday, so maybe Saturday, and guys, there's still plenty of time for you to do that, for this idea for this weekend. On Saturday, go door knocking with a flyer in your hand with information on the open house and other information about all the other listings in the area, so when that seller asks you about the house that's two streets over for sale, you'll have the MLS information right there to answer all their questions. So go and create a personal invitation, something inexpensive. Again, a flyer saying there's going to be a neighbors-only open house that's going to take place from, say, 10 till noon, and the open house starts from noon till, say, 2, or however long you want to hold the house open. The point is that you are in action out there meeting the owners, knocking on the doors, giving them a flyer, presenting yourself as a real estate expert, as hopefully all of you are learning to truly become, not just calling yourself an expert, but actually being one. And then guess what? You'll get leads. These leads cost you nothing. In action, while you're talking about real estate, you will find yourself feeling more energetic and enthusiastic. When was the last time in your real estate business that you actually had flow, where you felt like the wind was at your back, where things felt easy, when you had the momentum working for you? That comes from action. So put yourself in a place where you can go out there and be of service to others and open yourself up to the opportunities that are constantly surrounding you. Because remember, everyone you ever come in contact with is either wanting to buy a home, wanting to sell a home, wanting to buy a second home, wanting to downsize a home, fill in the blank. In other words, everybody you come in contact with is in real estate. It's not like something else where if, like, you sold planes or boats, you're not going to run into people constantly that have planes or boats, but everybody lives in a house or apartment or a condo, right? You're surrounded by them. So every single person you ever come in contact with is going to be interested in what you do and what you know because it directly affects them. Makes sense, doesn't it? So approach the marketplace like that, knowing that there's opportunities and conversations happening constantly. So it's a simple process. Knock on the door, let them know who you are, hand them your business card, give them the flyer, let them know you're doing a Neighbors Only open house. Then Sunday, signs everywhere, Neighbors Only open house first. If some non-neighbors show up during the Neighbors Only open house, who cares? It doesn't make a difference. Meet, greet, and gather information while you're there. So rules for open houses. Obviously, the house has to be clean. Obviously, the house has to be well organized. Tell the sellers to put all, if it's an occupied property, tell the sellers to put all their valuable stuff away. Make sure there's nothing in the medicine cabinets, in forms of drugs or whatnot. Crazy stuff happens, you guys know. Don't follow the buyers around as they're walking through the house. Your job is to stay in front of the house. Your job is to greet people as they walk in, ask them to sign in exchange for you emailing them all the newest listings and things that are coming for sale that are not yet in the MLS. You know, you can get the buyers, obviously, to show more interest if there's information that you have that they can't readily get on their computer. Sellers, they're going to be interested in their home's value. They're going to be interested in knowing what's coming up. Everybody's going to be interested in any new construction stuff that's going on. Lots of new construction going up. No ads for it yet, not in the MLS. They're just sort of these mystery developments where it says coming soon and a big sign and lots of earth-moving equipment, right? Gather as much real estate information as you can and bring the people to you in this open house. The key, again, is a high profile, doesn't have to be super expensive, very desirable type house. You know what type of house I'm talking about, and have fun with it. Don't get all stressed out about it. Have natural, organic conversations, and remember to ask people, whom do you know that I should be helping buy or sell a home in this market? Whom do you know that is having trouble selling their house that I might be able to help? Those are the types of conversations that really lead to other things. So, Julie, for agents that are afraid to feel like salespeople are being too pushy, what do you say to those guys?
Well, I would say you're making it far too hard than it has to be. Be yourself first, assuming you have a reasonably appealing personality. If not, you may have things to work on. But assuming that you're a nice person, just be yourself, and be yourself talking about real estate second. You know, we use the example, I used to have lots of real estate leads from the orchestra that I played in. I didn't go to each orchestra member and say, you know, this is a business question. Who can you refer to me to do a real estate deal? And by the way, when do you plan on moving? I was never that direct. But I would occasionally be on my cell phone closing a transaction, or I would be talking about, yeah, I just came from a closing. We talked yesterday about always looking like you are the professional that you claim to be, and stop making it so hard. So one of the easiest things you can do to break the ice is get good at open houses. It is a legitimately great source if you do it right. And just talk about how, you know, imagine if somebody came to your door and said they work with lots of buyers and sellers in the area, wanted to give you the flyer to the open house I'm having this Saturday and answer any questions that you might have about that home. It's a great house. I'm sure you probably know the owner. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this open house. Here's the price. Here's the amenities. I'm curious, who do you know who would love to live in your neighborhood? Gosh, it would be great to choose your neighbors. Who do you know who would love to move in? Okay, that's an easy, natural thing. You don't have to be pushy about it. Now, how are you going to feel if you're the person that answered the door? You're going to say, that's the agent for me. They're obviously making an effort to get the highest price and the fastest sale for my neighbor. I got to find out more about that person. They might even ask you for your card.
Well,
so stop
exactly.
Making it too hard.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Guys, here, remember the research that we explained to you and we've explained to you many times before. In essence, the bottom line, I won't tell you all the details, but the bottom line is something like 95% of everybody works with the first realtor they meet. Be that first realtor and you win. If they're in the market to buy or sell real estate and they meet you and you seem reasonably confident and you have a nice personality and you're helpful and you're sincere, chances are they will do business with you, even if you are new, even if you're getting back in the real estate business. Even if maybe you're who knows what level of career at what success you've had. Anybody, all of our top coaching clients, and we have some of the most successful realtors as personal coaching clients around the country, people that routinely sell hundreds of homes per year, they know what we're telling you is true. That's the reason that they put so much emphasis on contacts, because they know that once they come in contact with someone, the law, essentially the probability is that that person will come back and hire them to sell their house, work with them to buy a house, work with them to buy more houses, and they'll refer more transactions to them. Guys, that's how this actually works. So keep that in mind when you're out and about doing open houses. This is much easier than you think if you allow it to be. Be yourself. Have fun. But remember, we are in a real estate recovery, and people are going to be a little skittish. They're going to want to know that you know what you're talking about. So do your homework ahead of time. Be prepared. Know the market. Know the average days in the market, whether it's extending or whether it's shortening. Know what the best interest rates are right now on mortgages. Know those types of things so that you can provide that information. Sure, they can find most of it online, but they will never put as much value as anything they read online as they do when they're hearing it from you. So just remember that.
That's right.
Become educated.
Yeah. You know the average days on the market, what's sold, what's for sale. And so I wanted to set some expectations when you're doing open houses correctly, because I've found that a lot of things in life change if you know what you should be getting out of the task at hand.
If you measure it.
Yeah, exactly. And especially because there's so much myth information or misinformation from people surrounding you saying, oh, you know, open houses don't work for me or that or whatever. Forget about all that. What does a great professionally executed open house produce for you? What should they expect him? How would they know if they're doing it right?
Well, so your goal, obviously, is to collect contact information from every single person that walks in. And we've given you some ideas. Buyers are always looking for home information. Sellers are looking for CMAs. Offer to provide that information. Offer to provide information to buyers that on homes that they might not know for sale about being new listings. That would be your pocket listings. That would be your office pocket listings. That would be the new construction listings. If you're in a market where there's still distressed property and there's REOs, let them know about the stuff that's in pre-marketing. Now remember, a lot of these buyers, depending on the price range, are also going to be sellers. They're also going to have properties to sell. So don't just assume because they're asking about purchasing a property that they don't have a property to sell. One of the things that's in our script that we ask all of our students to use when you're pre-qualifying a buyer, I think it's the third or fourth question, is, by the way, Mr. Buyer, which house in the neighborhood are you thinking about selling? So always proceed with every lead as if they have a house to sell. The second you forget to ask that question is when you're not going to get that listing, because they're going to assume that you didn't ask because you're not a listing agent. You must only work with buyers. Get it? So ask
Good
the
point.
Questions ahead of time. Now, a lot of you are going to ask other questions, like Julie's asking me to set expectations as to what you should get from an open house, but let's really drill down on this particular idea. Don't ask them if they're working with a realtor. Don't ask the question like that. Instead, say, I assume because you're contacting me directly or you're walking to open houses, in this case, by yourself, that you're not working with another realtor. Okay? Don't say, are you working with a realtor, because then they're going to search their minds and probably say, yes, I am. That's the experience that many of you have. But the reality is they're not working with a realtor. They're not committed to anybody. Maybe there's someone they've exchanged emails with, or they're getting, you know, feed from somebody's IDEX search results or whatnot. Who cares? The fact is this, Mr. Seller, I assume because you're calling me directly or you contacted me directly, you're not working with another realtor, correct? Find out. Now, expectations. If you have 10 people that walk into your open house, as a rule, you'll have at least one transaction, provided that you are gathering information and you're not just sitting there playing Farmville on Facebook. Provided you're actually there to meet and greet, provide information, gather information. Now, put out a registration book. You know, it's funny. A great registration book is nothing other than a tablet of paper, and on the top it says name, address, phone number, or just name and phone number and email address. Here's a little suggestion for you. Have a whole bunch of people pre-registered so that when someone walks into your open house, there's not just a blank registry there. Because if there's a blank registry there, no one's going to put their information on there. But if they say 10 more people have done it beforehand, then they'll do the same thing. It's the psychology of it. If you walk up to Starbucks today or any other coffee place or wherever, and there's a tip jar there, and there's no money in the tip jar, you're not going to put money in that tip jar. But if you see there's money in that tip jar, you're going to put money in that tip jar. And the people that work at the restaurant seed that tip jar before customers start walking in that day, because they know psychologically if there's money in there already, it puts on a social pressure for customers to add to it. Okay, so your registration book or just your yellow tablet of paper, make sure you've got some pre-registrations. Make sure you've got some information on there so that it looks like people have been there before you. You can make these up. It doesn't matter. We're not doing anything particularly unethical. All we're doing is using the psychological benefits of peer pressure to get people to register. So then have conversations. Look for the people that are motivated, that are really interested in the market, provided you're there to provide information, provided you're being helpful, provided you're not just sitting there being sucked in, all your time is not just being sucked in by one person, you're actually doing your job, you will find that the cream will rise to the top, and those people who are actually in the market are going to seek you out. You look nice. You sound professional. They are going to want to work with you. You will get that transaction. So when every 10 contacts, provided you're not just sitting there, you're actually working them, will result in a closing for you. And oftentimes, guys, a 30-day closing. Now, if you're holding a house open that is not pending, remember, those buyers might actually want to purchase the house, so have contracts with you. Okay?
That's
right. Be ready
and
to sell the house.
Yeah, that's right. Don't be shocked. You know, I tell my clients, don't pee your pants when somebody says, yes, I'll take the house. So when should they follow up with all these open house leads that they've got in their really nice-looking sign-in book?
That's a funny question, isn't it? I mean, immediately, that day. It's
that
only funny
day.
Because
– yeah.
Well, exactly. But, Julie, you know as well as I do, when we're doing free coaching calls with people that know they're needing coached and you ask them how long does it take for them to follow up on open house leads, they'll always say, well, I usually try to do it the next day or the day after that. And then you ask them why, and what do they always tell you?
I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to bug
That's
them.
That's right. I don't want to be too pushy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this person took part of their Sunday or Saturday, went to your open house, registered because they were expecting to hear back from you, and then you decided not to call them back until 2 or 3 days later because you were worried about being too pushy. What
yeah.
the heck is that about?
Well, here's a little-known fact, right? A little-known fact is when people are motivated, they actually expect you to close them. It's weird
That's
to
right.
them if you don't. It makes them seem like you're too busy or maybe you're not that serious. Maybe you're a part-time agent. You know, what was the deal? So, yes, that same evening, that is appropriate. And then anybody who you don't get a hold of course, you're going to relentlessly follow up on until you actually reach them. And as Tim pointed out, don't be surprised if one of them actually wants to buy the house. Then as far as your leads go, your mission should be to set an appointment. If somebody does seem like they want to work with you, don't do the typical realtor thing and say, well, give me your information and I'll follow up with you. Just go for the appointment. Set an appointment
That's
for
right.
tomorrow afternoon and then, you know, follow up with a phone call, pre-qualify them, get the details, and then proceed. But go for the appointment.
And, guys, listen, Julie just said something really important. At the open house, when you have a really good prospect and they're wanting to see property, your open house is over at 4 o'clock. While you're sitting there at the open house, when people aren't in the house, set up showings and show people those properties that particular day. Urgency matters. It makes all the difference. If you're not creating the revenue that you want to have right now, ask yourself, how fast are you? How urgent are you? How really anxious do you seem? And would you work with you? If you were actually wanting to buy a house, would you work with someone who didn't get back right away? Would you work with someone who didn't set appointments right away? If you're ready to buy, aren't you looking for somebody who's going to act like we try to coach you guys to be? Yes, of course. So here's the bottom line. Of course, buyers are awesome, but buyers are not a way to build a business. You cannot build a long-standing, lasting relationship, a business with just basically, you know, buyers. You can't do it. And you certainly can't do it by buying buyer leads. You all have to learn how to be listing agents. No matter where you are in your career, no matter how much money you're making, how much money you plan on making through listings, always have 2 to 3 really great AAA buyers with you at all times. Why? Because, A, hey, guess what? It's 30-day paychecks. B, it keeps you frosty. You're knowing what's going on in the market. And C, frankly, you can see the trends changing. Sometimes you'll start working with buyers, and if you haven't worked with a buyer in a long time, you're going to get that buyer in your car, and all of a sudden you're going to realize that the buyer's trends and preferences are starting to shift. Housing, subdivision, styles of homes, kitchen cabinets, countertops, all that stuff is trendy. And if you just kept your head down for a long period of time and have only been focused on listings and building your business, you probably have lost contact with the marketplace, and nothing gets you on the front lines again like picking up a AAA-motivated buyer. The goal here, listening to yesterday's radio show, is not to form a long-term working relationship with these buyers. They expect you to find them a house quickly. They expect you to help them choose a house quickly. That means closing on a house. And they expect you to be urgent with your actions and they expect you absolutely positively to listen to their needs. If you do all those things, you'll have a buyer in contract. You meet a buyer this Sunday. Mark my words, listen to yesterday's radio show, listen to today's radio show. If you're not a coaching student, become a coaching student. Get all of our buyer scripts. Get all the systems so that you know exactly how everything works. Very simple process working with buyers. And then start setting yourself up for 30-day paychecks, all the while learning how to be a listing agent. That's how you become successful long-term. Most people start out working with buyers, but don't stay as a buyer's agent. That is, there's just not much of a future in it. You will get tired. You will get bored. You'll get frustrated, and then you'll realize that you have never really built a business. All you're doing is essentially selling your time. Listings provide leverage. You know, Julie, this conversation I know resonates, but doesn't resonate with every agent, because most agents don't have it in their heads that they could actually make real money in this business. But for those that do, they really, really get it. And one of the fun calls I like to have, especially with a new coaching client or someone who's thinking about hiring us to be their coaches, is, you know, I ask them, so how much time does it take you from lead generation to closing the transaction? How many hours do you have wrapped up in the average listing? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's usually like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, and then, not bad.
Depending on their market, you know, that could be 5,000 or it could be 50,000. So you ask them the same question about a buyer. So you take that same buyer that leads to the closing. How much time does it take? It's not 5 hours. It's usually like 30 or 40 hours. And then you do a little division. You find out how much money they make per hour being listing agents, how much money they make per hour being buyer's agents. Then you ask them other questions like, so as a listing agent, do you have to work in the evenings and the weekends? No. As a listing agent, you have one listing, 10 listings, 100 listings, and then all the agents are out there selling them for you. You have leverage. You guys are looking for leverage in your businesses, and you think that the way you're going to get it is through your teams and your staff members. That's true to a very small certain extent. The way you get leverage is listings. The listings create the leverage. Then you basically can start making huge amounts of profit. Anyone who's been very successful in this business for a long period of time knows that the real money is made on the listing side of the business, and it always will. So, yes, work buyers. If you're new in the business, if you're feeling like this spring market's getting away from you and you want to get some momentum going, do what we asked you to do. Follow the systems we've laid out for you with the broad strokes as far as working with the buyers. Get some in contract. Get some cash flow going. Get your momentum going. Build your confidence back. But do not forget how critical it is for you to learn how to be a listing agent. Anything else you can think of, Jules?
No, I mean, I think we've been pretty clear on this. And there are many different aspects to this, but I think we've covered the things you can implement immediately, literally this weekend. So get cracking.
Exactly. So you want to talk about a plan to make you money right away? Well, guess what? That's it. So you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk with you next week. And we're looking forward. We have a whole new series of show topics for you starting next week. Please do us a favor. We know we're the most popular online real estate coaching radio show. We know that, you know, you guys, the loyal listeners, you've helped to get us to this point. Do us a favor and share with other agents that you know what you're learning from the show. Send them a copy of the radio show. Tell them about the, you know, give them a link to it. Let them listen. Help these agents also enjoy this real estate recovery. So you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk with you on Monday.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.